Okay, so you've got a very special show coming up here on November 5th at the Bella Concert Hall with the Caribou Express. Now, I understand that this night involves the, I think it's the 7th Annual Concert for Classrooms Classroom Champions fundraiser. What can you tell us about that, and how did you get involved?
Well, the Caribou Express has been going for 15 years, mm-hmm. and it started out, it's always had a charitable component. Mm-hmm. I 15 years ago, I got this idea that why don't we do a kind of variety, old-timey sort of show and do it like the Grand Ole Opry where songs were sponsored. And the days gone, or at the Opry, they would go, this next song is brought to you by Gillette, you know, closest shave a man can get, something like that. But then if I would get companies to, or the charity that were involved would get companies to sponsor a song. And, you know, set a price tag for $500 a song. And then Matt Masters and I would, you know, write funny intros, and all that money would go directly to the charity. So that, you know, I didn't know if the idea would work, but here we are 15 years later, and it's, and it, to this point, we've raised over $3.5 million for Western Canadian charities. So it's just a great, fun, wonderful evening. And that's, we got involved, I guess, 7 years ago with Classroom Champions, and Craig Sanek and Matt Masters' dad was involved. And I at that point when he was still alive, and we've just, they're great partners for it. They work super hard to make sure the night is a success. And they've just raised tons of money over the years with this. So it's a wonderful night of entertainment, and then it also has a, you know, it raises funds for worthy causes.
Now, you sort of answered my question a little bit already, but I want to talk now about this Caribou Express. Like, how the heck did you ever come up with this idea to do this? Was it just to change things up, or what happened?
Well, you know, I've got a ranch in BC, and one time, a couple of times we've played my band, the Legendary Hearts, played the rodeo dance. But then, you know, a few times as we'd done, after we'd done it two or three times, my son Dustin would come up with all his buddies, Ridley Bent and the like, and Leroy Stagger, all those guys, they would come up. And it turned into a bit of a hootenanny when we would play the rodeo dance. And that got me thinking, it's like, oh, how fun would it be to take this on the road? And so That's where the genesis, the idea came from. And then I also thought, what if, how can we do this and raise money for, you know, things that really need it? And the very first one was a social enterprise in the downtown east side in Vancouver. And we've been working with them for 15 years. So that's how it started.
Now, I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit here. I'm not really sure what it is about Canadian music, but we seem to have this history of artists that sort of, I guess, defy being defined by any particular musical style, such as maybe, I don't know, Blue Rodeo is the first one that comes to mind, maybe Tragically Hip. Now, I wonder, as an artist that has elements of pop, rock, roots, folk influence throughout your career, where are you most comfortable? Like, what style defines you, or does it all define you?
Well, that's a really good question. If it feels like good music and it's coming from the heart, I love the variety. I mean, we have, with another member of the Legendary Hearts, we have the bluegrass band, the High Bar Gang. I've really been enamored with bluegrass, you know, over the last 5 or 10 years. And I don't pretend to be an expert in playing it in any way, shape, or form. But I like doing that. You know, I love doing, I just finished 4 solo shows in the interior of BC. Love playing, doing a solo act. Absolutely love it when the Legendary Hearts get together and we go rock full bore. But I think what keeps me really interested in the whole endeavor is the variety. And it all, it makes sense to me, you know, like it doesn't feel strange to me at all to do it this way.
Now, throughout your career, and especially in the 80s and 90s, there have been some lofty comparisons to artists such as John Mellencamp, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty. And I just wonder, how does that make you feel when you hear comparisons like that?
Well, I probably, as a Canadian musician, I wish I had some of their financial success.
Fair, that's fair.
But also, I also feel pretty comfortable with the level of success I've had because mm-hmm. I think it's enabled me to be, you know, to be super famous is, I think, a very complicated thing.
Sure.
And so I'm grateful that I have, that I, you know, sure, some of the things that would come with it would be great, but I feel lucky that, you know, I haven't where I've landed. So, I mean, I'm honored to be compared to those people, you know, and that's certainly the kind of music that's where I saw myself. You know, you could call it heartland rock or just that kind of rock music that Springsteen, Mellencamp, Tom Petty, those guys put out. That's what I listened to. That's what the kind of music I loved.
And I think it's an ultimate compliment in a lot of ways because it's the storytelling aspect. It's the, you know, the Canadiana of, you know, what's in the lyrics themselves, right? I think it's a compliment. I mean,
I completely take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's a fun one for you. Now, a lot of people may not realize this, but you essentially grew up here in Calgary. You spent a good chunk of your childhood here. What can you tell us about that experience or that period of your life?
I loved growing up in Calgary, and I probably would have stayed there. It's just that when the late 70s, early 80s, maybe 81 or 82, I came out to Vancouver because it was almost impossible to have a musical career in Calgary back then. Now all of that's changed, but I loved growing up there. I'm so attached to the, you know, that part of the country where you see the Rockies rising out from the Rolly Hills, it just still is so in my soul.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably why I have the place where I have here in the Cariboo in BC. It reminds me of it, but it's different, but it's mountains and that kind of ranch country.
I understand you've recently collaborated with Jeffrey Kelly of Spirit of the West for Ranch Riders, that folk roots album of instrumentals. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this has just been a real thrill for me because we, you know, have been friends for 40 years or close to that. And he would come and visit at the ranch and we would work on these instrumental tunes just because rather than play cards or sometimes go for a hike, other people would do that. And we'd just sit there and either, you know, if it's in the winter around the fireplace or, you know, in the summer by the creek. And we'd, you know, just experiment with these ideas. It was just something to, that we were following our fancy, basically. And then, you know, we decided to record it during, you know, the pandemic and recorded it at the ranch. And then lo and behold, we got a record deal. I mean, it was just, and then it's been received so well. We pinch ourselves in this one.
So anything else of note that you got going on, more touring, writing, anything like that? What can you tell us?
I'm just looking forward to this tour. And then I've actually started to play again lately. So things are, you know, it's been good in that way. And no, I just, you know, encourage anybody to come to the show. I think it's going to be really nice to be, you know, in front of a full audience again. And I love the thought of that. I mean, and it's been wonderful to start playing again live.
Nothing like a pandemic to make you appreciate what you had before and maybe sort of took for granted, we'll say, but
Oh, totally. I couldn't agree more.
Well, that's it, Barney. You are done.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Lovely chat.